Martin Scorsese's new biography of Bob Dylan called No Direction Home will be shown tonight and tomorrow night on public television. The 3.5-hour documentary is part of PBS's American Master Series. The DVD and the soundtrack have already been released. Our rock critic Ken Tucker considers what this film reveals about Dylan and Scorsese.
That's Bob Dylan in concert soon after his 1965 album Highway 61 Revisited had placed him in millions of minds at the very center of American culture. 65 was a pivotal year for Dylan, the one in which his beginnings as a chubby-cheeked, acoustic-strumming ragamuffin had fully given way to a lean, often mean, electric-powered human event. Director Martin Scorsese has culled through hundreds of hours of new, unseen interviews conducted by Dylan's manager and archivist Jeff Rosen, and woven in interviews with everyone from the late but glowing Allen Ginsberg to a very alive and regally embittered Joan Baez. Adding the pop cultural context that is Scorsese's great gift, the filmmaker comes up with a documentary whose greatest achievement is that it doesn't demystify Dylan, it remystifies him. Here's the present-day Dylan, now in his 60s, talking about what appealed to him in his early readings of writers such as Ginsberg and Jack Kerouac.
I fell into that atmosphere of everything Kerouac was saying about the world being completely mad, and the only people for him that were interesting were the mad people, the mad ones, the ones who were, you know, mad to live and mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time, the ones who never yawn, all those mad ones. And I felt like I fit right into that bunch.
Soon after this, Dylan, in tight close-up, his cheeks slashed with two long vertical creases, a roué's mustache above his lips, says of his youth in Hibbing, Minnesota, quote, "I didn't feel like I had a past." He notes that listening to people like Hank Williams and Woody Guthrie made him feel restless, homeless, yet thoroughly connected to a certain American tradition, that of the traveler, the rootless man, who, he says, may be a carnival performer one night or a folk singer the next. This is what has always perplexed and sometimes vexed people about Dylan. Pegged as a singer-songwriter, and therefore supposedly someone who is singing his own thoughts and beliefs, it's clear in No Direction Home that Dylan loves show business. The idea of assuming new characters, of speaking in different voices and tongues. You don't laugh when he refers to himself as, quote, a musical expeditionary. Proving the range of that quest, Martin Scorsese brilliantly contrasts the comments that Dylan makes about Woody Guthrie's songs, that they, quote, didn't seem archaic to me, with some slashing rock and roll concert footage with the musicians who would become the band. The two obvious precedents for the Dylan film in Martin Scorsese's canon are Italian American, his 1974 documentary about his family, which featured the sort of intimate conversations that characterized No Direction Home, and Scorsese's 1978 documentary Before the Flood, about Dylan's 1974 so-called comeback tour with the band. But I think that in its constant exploration of how someone creates his own identity with both unfettered imagination and no small amount of ruthlessness, No Direction Home also taps into themes that Scorsese has mulled over in his fictional work, in everything from New York, New York, to The King of Comedy, to The Color of Money. Certainly among the striking things about No Direction Home are the recurring themes of self-invention, authenticity, and ambition. In this film, folkies like Dave Van Ronk and Joan Baez speak in still somewhat bewildered tones of wonderment about the roles that Dylan played. Woody Guthrie wannabe, beat poet with a guitar, and in what the movie labels as the first film shot of Dylan in New York City, a clownish persona that may well remind you of Charlie Chaplin. Folk musicians and folk fans were confounded by a man who could take their genre's modern legacy of progressive politics and genteel humility and turn it into a platform for pop stardom and an egotism both playful and lethal, depending on whom it was aimed at. Longtime Dylan friend and accompanist Bob Neuwirth is insightful on this subject.
I think he always made exactly the work that he wanted to make. At the time he wanted to make it, the audience came to Bob. And that's one of the things that makes him so unique in the history of American music, is the audience came to Bob Dylan.
No Direction Home is a treasure trove of small moments that will connect Dylan's odyssey from Minnesota to Greenwich Village and beyond to your own personal trek through life. Scorsese's camera pans across a picture of a smoky village night spot, and you can see, sitting at a table for a brief flash, the face of the great poet Frank O'Hara, the reason I moved to New York City. No Direction Home stops just before Dylan's 1966 motorcycle crash that kept him in seclusion and offstage for 7 years. But I'm here to tell you, I saw him perform just a few months ago, and the sheer volume, the loudness that so offended the purists 40 years ago, remains exhilarating, rude, and eloquent. Dylan and his current backing group finished Desolation Row, put down their instruments, and came to the front of the stage, standing in a line. Dylan looked to his left at his colleagues, looked to his right, then looked out at the crowd and nodded once. He was saying, in effect, "We may as well have had machine guns in our hands. We blew you away and you know it." Watching No Direction Home, you'll understand where that ongoing blast-back power comes from.
Ken Tucker is film critic for New York Magazine. He reviewed No Direction Home, Martin Scorsese's biography of Bob Dylan. The two-part documentary will be shown tonight and tomorrow night on public television. Fresh Air's